Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And it's that time of the morning that we discuss what is happening globally, what is happening in the continent of Africa, and what is happening in our motherland, Namibia, especially on issues of politics, economics, international trade, and governance. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station. That is Eagle FM Namibia. It's 3 minutes past the hour of six. And this is exactly the time, the moment that we engage on issues of bread and butter and on issues of economic development. It's the 13th of January, 2026. And the year has just started and we are already on the 13th. By the time you are waking up, by the time you are awake, you are already in June. That's why it's always very important to make sure that you get and use every opportunity that you get to make sure that you move forward, to make sure that you upgrade your game plan, to make sure that you do what you said you are going to do. And in this world, especially when we like giving you advice at every morning, is to say for you to move forward in life, you don't need to do it alone. And it's not possible actually to do it alone. You need people to work with you. You need people that to assist you. You need people to advise you. You need mentors. You need, you know, partners. You need stakeholders to work with in order for you to get where you want to get. That's why this morning of the 13th of January, we're indicating to you that in life, building relationship matters. Building relationship matters. Building friendship matters, especially relevant relationship that you can use in the future, and also be relevant in that relationship too. Don't just say I have a lot of friends. Do people also regard you as their friend, or you just depend on them? Just make sure that when they are speaking about what you bring on the table, you must also have one thing or two that you'll be able to bring on the table. And this discussion must be extended to that extent that when people are asking a question to say, what are you bringing on the table? Do not only think about material wealth. Sometimes you can just bring respect. Sometimes you can bring kindness. Sometimes you can bring reliability. And also, sometimes you can bring trust. And also, you know, you can bring insight and skills, because it's not only about every person who is on the table is there because of material wealth. There is always something that you can give that and that person will also be able to regard as useful. So make sure that you are awake and you are pushing forward. And we understand some of you, or majority of you actually, are on your way to work, on your way to the hustle, on your way to look for opportunities, and also on your way to make sure that, you know, you improve yourself. Because the good thing I like about Namibians is that no matter the situation on the ground, they are always making sure that the hustle is continue. The hustle is continue. And we are seeing that, you know, learners have returned to school. Some they just started. And we are seeing videos of young kids crying. Especially, it's very difficult to cope, especially when you're at the beginning of your academic life. And everybody is able to remember his or her first day at school. You are always confused. You are always disorganized at some point. And sometimes you are also finding it very difficult to cope into the system. That is why this week we are indicating to teachers, parents, guardians, and trainers to make sure that you assist those young ones to cope with a new reality, because they will not be home forever. They are needed and integrated into the system, especially preschool. It will only take 2 to 3 days. The next day you don't even want to go home anymore. You are into playing, and that is also the time that they are making their first real friendship. Because when you look at children, whether it's that one who is very quiet every time, whether they are going back home, there is always a friendship closer by. There is always a partner, and it's very interesting. And let's see, today is actually a very interesting day, especially when you are going to eat and also look at the results of grade 11 at this ordinary level, and also the AS level. Also going to wait for the statistics to see what will happen when Minister Dr. Sanette Steenkamp will announce the results, and those who perform very well, they are going to get their awards, and also they are going to know their position, and it's a time. And remember, this January, it's already going to an end once the results are out for grade 11 and AS level. Time will move fast, because time to look for university. That is why we are indicating to parents to make sure that you have some coins there. Make sure that you have some coins reserved. We know it's January, to make sure that those one who are going to make it, they get an opportunity to go to university. And lucky for you, and also for everybody of every Namibian, to say fees has fallen. Tertiary education is finally free. Tertiary education is finally free. What you need to do, just make sure that you have an accommodation, you have a transport money, and assist this child to go to university, because the government of Namibia has covered you. You are covered. And, the 8th administration said that they got this. So make sure that those who make it, they get tertiary entry. And also those who did not make it, because in most cases we always have forgotten people, especially there is somebody who is between passing and failing, somebody who did not make it, somebody who cannot get assistance. But we need to make sure that we also pay attention to children who are not academically gifted. They could be gifted in other area. And while we are at the beginning of the year, for parents also, there have been this thing of saying, look at other kids, look at David's kids, all of them are at university. But what happened to you guys? I don't know. I'm just wasting my money. But remember that people are not given the same gift. That's why those years, and also in these years, you have carpenters, you have artisans, you have lawyers, doctors, you have pilots, you have singers, you have comedians, you have actors. And when you look at the developing world, and compared to the developed world, you'll be able to understand that when you look at the developed world, they utilize talents. Most of the people who have money are not those who went through the mainstream academy. People that they watch on Hollywood, some of these guys, they end up only at high school, but because somebody have identified them, because an academy of art identified them, they become best actors. And we need to make sure that we prioritize that, especially during 2026, and also considering the fact that the money is fragmented and distributed to various areas, so that we can also incorporate utilization of upgrading actually of talent, and also to make sure that nobody should feel left out, and everybody must be a participant in Namibian economic development. We are at we're actually living in a beautiful and peaceful country compared to other countries. That's why I'm always telling my friends to say, other people, they started running 3 years ago. Other people started running 3 years ago. They don't even know. In some cases, they don't even know which one is their real home, which one is their real village, especially in war-torn countries, in countries where there is no peace and stability. But at this point in time, no matter the situation, while we are dealing with our inequality issue, while we are dealing with addressing our informal economy, while we are dealing with our youth unemployment, we must also make sure that we maintain our strength, that is peace and stability, that is going to lay a foundation, especially for our industrialization. So today we'll be having a conversation, especially looking at the recent communique by the African Union, especially from the chairperson of the African Union Commission, when he indicated that there will be African Union is open for negotiation, African Union is open for negotiations, especially looking at the United States of America, when the administration of President Donald Trump has released a memorandum that also showed the withdrawal of United States of America in funding key institutions, key United Nations institutions. And apart from those institutions, we have institutions such as United Nations Population Fund. You have peacekeeping commissions, and you also have the most important agency, particularly that is on Africa, that is United Nations Economic Commission for Africa. And when you look at documents, when you look at documents of African Union, when you look at some of the developmental projects too, you realize to say this agency is also part of African development, and the African Union Chairperson Commission realized that it's going to be very difficult. It's going to be very difficult. That's why stated that the Commission is open for negotiation with the United States of America, and also to make sure that there will be further support of United Nations. And the question that we are going to ask, because today we are going to be joined by a research consultant on development, and also a public policy analyst, and also a leadership coach, that is Mr. Ben Owanga, who is going to join us from 7 o'clock there to look at this issue. And we are going to ask a question to say, can we develop without external dependency? Because other countries are saying, enough is enough. Let us look at our priorities. And also, maybe also a question to say, are we not grateful? Because apart from UN, the United States having some of the policies that we are not agreeing with, but the question that you ask is that, is African Union, is Africans not grateful too? When you look at, for example, AGOA. AGOA has been in existence for over 20 years. If I'm not mistaken. And at the center of AGOA was to make sure that African countries are assisted to expand and become capable to compete at the international level, entering the US market. What have we learned from there? And also to say, is this dependency going to take us somewhere? Look at countries like Japan. Because at one point, Japan was faced with a devastated incidents of at the end of World War II, when the U.S. dropped atomic bombs in history that have never happened. And that country rebuilt itself. And when you look at its GDP now compared to Africa, you'll be shocked. You look at this technological system, but the question that you are always asking is to say, to what extent are we going to be on our own? And Mr. Ben Owanga is a very interesting guest, because his focus is more on African development, African affairs, and he's going to engage us, especially from 7 there, and also to say, when we speak about development, what do we really mean? Can we really develop without too much dependence on the outside? Can we do things on our own? Can we also learn? Or what is the way forward? Because when you look at the statement, I do not want to say the statement is begging, but it's also a statement of that is also looking at so that the future of African children should not feel left out, so that there will be maximum benefit. No, you can say it's you can say that it's a diplomatic statement, but the other thing that you also need to look at the reality is that when things change, who do we look into? When things change, who do we look into? When relationships are no more with the external world, who do we look into? So that is going to form part of the discussion for today, especially when you are going to be joined by Mr. Ben Owanga. So, looking at while we are there, it's quite crucial. It's quite crucial to look at what is happening know what is happening in the continent of Africa, what is happening in the world, and also what is happening in our motherland. And apart from Uganda going to the polls this week, and there's a lot of predictions and analysis to say how we're seeing the coming back of, we're seeing the retaining of General Museveni, or Bobi Wine is going to be given an opportunity to lead Uganda. Is that going to happen? Because this year, the authority in Uganda say, no, this year we are not going to cut out internet during election periods. Because, you know, in the current politics, people, one of the things that you should not ignore is the use of internet, the use of social media, particularly if you're a public policy analyst, influencing public behaviors, influencing the way people think. Social media has a crucial role to play in politics, in war, and also in development, because you look at for the past 2 years, for the past two terms of General Museveni or so, you realize to see government used to shut down internet at some point, especially during elections. One who argue that maybe for not to allow the spreading of misinformation and propaganda during elections, one will also argue to say maybe he's also scared of the young generation, because the tool that the young generation of today have that the previous generation never have or did not have previously is the use of internet, fast internet, and the use of social media, and it is influencing politics even in Namibia. It is influencing politics, and it's also influencing and shaping the society. That's why the regulations when it's coming to the use of internet and social media must be up to date and must be guided by national and developmental interests. Otherwise, if it's not handled very well too, can also become a disaster. Because looking on social media, you can be able to see that you see today somebody is exposing somebody, and immediately after receiving letters from a lawyer, you will just see another person who was insulting that person who come on social media again and apologize. And it's quite you know, interesting to watch. I mean, apologize to say I'm retracting my statement, and I did not know. And I'm regret to say this, but you are just asking yourself to say, you know, the public platform that we are using to humiliate others, at some point we can also use it, or it also come back to us, because it's now a former platform that if you say something on social media, it's the same platform you are going to say it, and it's the same platform you are going to apologize it. So that's why when you are angry with somebody, you must be cautious, especially using social media as a platform to score or to settle your disputes, and also to tarnish a person's name. And if you don't use it very well, you end up being sued, and you also end up being humiliating yourself, because you apologize there at the platform that you have said it. You are not going to apologize in private, because where you said it, even your followers will also be able to see that you are disingenuous. And you also don't mean good for the country. And that's why social media regulations and also internet regulations is quite crucial. But there's something very interesting which I did not even know, because actually did not know. I thought I knew, because one of my cousins is under the age of 18, and she has a cell phone. Then I was setting up the cell phone for her. Then I realized that the internet, there are regulations to say if you are under the age of this, you need a parent approval. That's why even if you want to download something, I have to approve that. Because otherwise, internet becomes so dangerous. Children end up being kidnapped especially those who have phones. And parents, you have a right to be part of that, monitoring, to say what your children is downloading. Your children is downloading especially dangerous content. Especially dangerous content, there is always a need for approval. And you can also be able to see, you know, so check, not really to say monitoring everything, but you can also be able to see what is in that phone, because otherwise internet has been used not for good use all the time. There are people who lost their teens just through social media. Person would monitor what you like, and child will just receive a text to say the celebrity that you have been admiring is outside in the van. Then people disappear. Then you never see the light of the day. That is why. So it's important to caution, especially if you have a young teen who is using social media or using a smartphone or a phone, actually, to make sure that you are part of that, because not only alcohol, which has to have age, but also the use of social media, because if you don't, if your mind is not developed fully, you are easily manipulated and easily become a victim of those who don't mean good. Looking into aspect of developmental affairs, stated that Ghana settled 1.47 billion energy sector debts to restore power stability. And one thing that we should not ignore and we must praise, especially in Africa. Now, the administration of President John Mahama is quite a progressive administration. The administration of President John Mahama must be looked at closely, because Ghana and Ethiopia, you know, those countries have been our big brothers, especially when it's coming to pushing of agenda of African development, and also making sure that when it comes to developmental affairs, when it's coming to African Renaissance and Pan-Africanism, the agenda is pushed. But you'll be able to realize that for the past 2 years or so, there have been a lot of development, particularly putting the Ghanaian economy in order, strengthen its currency, and also the flow of trade, and also the relationship of Ghana with the external world. And you'll be able to see that there is an indication to say the government of Ghana has announced that it has paid $1.47 billion, that is in 2025, to clear the long-standing debts in energy sector. And it's a praised move that is restoring stability and international credibility when it's coming to power, because the government of John Mahama realized that you cannot develop when you have shortage in terms of power utility. You cannot develop when you have, debts, especially in the energy sector. That's why energy is number one priority when it comes to development. And it's also where we have to learn. It's also where we have to learn, because the question is, which has been asked, is to say, the sustainability of subsidizing energy? What is the sustainability of subsidizing energy? How fast are we as a country, especially when it comes to, developing our own or expanding our own energy sector and supporting the grid? Because energy drive development, drive innovation. Everything need energy. You need energy to cook. You need energy to for light. You need energy to use in your machines. And you need energy actually for everything, construction, industrialization. And if you can be able to afford that energy, then it's easier for you to move at other sector. And looking at into Ghana also, stated that the Minister of Finance in that payment is including 597.15 million to fully reinstate the World Bank partial risk guarantee that has been exhausted under previous administration. And after this, it is stated that this can allow nearly 8 billion in private investment for offshore Cape 3 Point gas field in the Sakofa gas project. And I was following the development in Ghana and also follow the development in Ethiopia. To say these countries, they mean real business. These countries, they mean real business, especially when you look at what is being done in advancing industrialization. Let us look at the Minister of Agriculture, Forestry, Water, and Land Reform. And I will be back in a short period of time.
Padre, Amahus, carrying how I hold this. Amahus, carrying how I hold this. Neske Kaising Hang Hansa, Ria Tosa Haisi Arms, Ministries Panagas, Aukos, Ami, Sing Huba Kabatora Gas, is this a Huhasa, To Hobane Haisi Amsa. Orisa seka si sadu tong in an areaun si kulisan ha toraguri. Oh ne ahasi tarin hawai huba amatin amahus tin ahasi tibiba. Tarin aroma tarin hawai huba an hanutin hu si ngi kamai tau ingau kuiska I habe a amahin oa ma tau I ku ingauska habe iban aman uis tamaska iyo o amahiske. Hose and Hanu Unga Wagao Ahasi. Taring Hawaii Huba, Tabatora Das, Hanumas, Hanumas, Kwas Koros, Thumbs, Neusi Piske, Nadi Ahasiga, Tisera Kain, Hanu Unga Amahus, T, Haraganagu, Ovagu, Hanusi, Haragu, Unam, Marisi, T, Holmes, Haraba. Uyehe ha muhasi komas amahus tamaska iyo o amas karin hawai hubiske ngangku was si tamasa masiba muhasi nga a aroma bata tare e nestats ning anse iye kari hawai hubya a watadi toragu hera uy mangkui waini kaiban amahuke sabu umisan unka karin hawai huban unka sta Sadu, how nasi, umi sadu, kwa, si sadu, nami beba, kauba, hanu onga ahasika, murika, hana iduka, kuis kama in hanu onga, amahudi hasa, ainsao, o nasa, how nasi, kai kuis, karin hao ainhu, abemas, tamaska iyo o, kaise, sats taba a tu, manesteris peros, sa abe, mamas taba, si, murire, ada si sen are, sada, Karin how I hooked in Uiga, Waha, Suriku Aroman Unsan, Wa, Manester Iske, Tuis, Kama I, Waima I, Hook Uigudi, Hanu Amahus, Karin how I hooked this the ink, Aroma, Eram Haba, Dide, Anshma Uhari, Karin how I hook ya Unha, Adan Iba, Wadan, Aroma, Norasa, Si, Abu Sasi, Uha, Gangans, Sa, Sisan Are Aroma, Nehisi Amske, Marisi Mahokas, Hanu, Republiki, Namibia, Ti, I, Aris Republiki, Twitch Poop, Ti, Haka Ha, Twitch Poop, Om Kansas, Maritais, Ka Fis, Ma, Ua, Utrisa, Uasan, Ansa, Tohoba, Ministries Perodi, Sa, Abepa, Tudi, Tamaska Eo, Haisakain Aris Peros, Ministries, Hanakas, Aukos, Tim Poop, Tabatoragas, Tisa, Saura Tamikwas, Kaiman. Tui tam kaima kaisa, nani kaima hagastaba kamibari. Horagan, Harukudi, Sisin Uira, Tiritiri Kamira, Hua, Uhe.
Eagle FM, let's you express.
Yeah, from the Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Agriculture there. Then we'll continue with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Shombe. And we are indicating to say today we are waiting for the results of those who were in at high school. That is last year. We are waiting for the results and always indicating to say when it comes to the results, those are not only the results of the students or the learners. These are our results. Those are also your results as parents, as teachers, as principals, as inspectors, and also as education directors. Because if, as ministers too, because if those children did not do well, we must also look at ourselves. Because in the foundation of education, the scholars of education, leadership are indicating to us to say, stakeholders in education of a child. We speak about the government, we speak about the community, speak about a teacher, speak about a parent, and also the society that the child is living into. Because if you only say, no, David's children are not passing, what did you do as a community? And if you are a teacher and your children did not make it, why other people using the same format of education, using the same textbook, using the same curriculum, using the same syllabus, maybe they are also at a vulnerable position, but their children are making it. And we must be also be able to make sure that if they fail, we must be not ready to say we must be blamed, but we must be responsible for that failure and see how we can be able also to build from that failure, because those are our children, and we cannot just look at it. And it's actually a short sightedness, especially when we blame children for not making it. And they also have a role to play. We are not saying they are not they are just completely clean. They also have a role to play. But those results which are coming out today, they are our own results as a society, and we must deal with them. Because they also define where Namibia is going to be in the next 4 years, in the next 5 years. Because these people will come back to the market, they'll come back to the workforce. And the question that we're asking, when they complete with their university in the next 5 years. And mind you, in the next 5 years, this will be maybe the first young professionals of 2030, if you are calculating very well. If they go to university this year, they'll be the first young professionals of 2030. And, they are a very interesting generation. Where are they going to be? Where are the first young professionals of 2030, going to be? The graduates of 2030, going to be? Are they going back to the informal market? I mean, to the informal economy that employed currently almost 60% of our people. Are they going back to the industry? Are they coming back to the industry? Are they coming to become innovators? Or situation will just continue? It's very interesting to see. Because looking at things is that those who are going to university this year, they will be the first young professionals, particularly if they are going to, if you are doing degree, even diplomas. Because 4 years from now, 4 years from now, their first job, they will be in 2030. And it means a lot. That is why we must be able to be accountable for that, all of us. And not only for educators to say, no, children did not make it, but were parents there also? Was the community also there? Was the government also there? Do we still have people who are learning under the trees? We must ask that question. And it's also very important to look at that aspect, because it's a way of monitoring the situation to say, do we still have people in Namibia currently that are being taught under the tree, or that are being taught under improper infrastructure? Do we still have those people? Do we still have, children who are going to school without shoes? Because that time when you were at primary, going to school without shoes was an ordinary thing. It was not even a big deal. And going to school, carrying books in a plastic, it was normal. Shoprite plastics. We also use macaroni plastics. And it was a normal thing. I'm not saying I used that because I did not have a bag, but at some point where you lost your bag, you used the plastics to go to school, to just put books and you go. But we still have that situation happening. So that is a question that we need to ask, especially when the results are coming out, and also to see what can we do to improve the situation, because we have unending blaming of people that we see. Have you ever realized that in our society we have more blames than solution to problems? When I was coming to work today, I was listening to, the one singer, the Kwaito Gen. It's a music that incorporates struggle and suffering, and also maybe relating to ordinary people. But you realize, to say, some of these singers, they focus more on my enemies cannot get me, and all these things to say you are the dangerous guy in the street, and sending this vibe and message to people. But you're asking yourself to say, maybe it's the society that we are living in. We blame too much on our enemies, but we realize that we are taught that our worst enemies is ourselves, because there is no enemy outside if the enemy within is not defeating you. So we must really change from that. Even when you are listening to that music, you say, man, who is bringing trouble in the music industry? Everybody is defending himself. Everybody is saying he's a big man. Everybody is saying my enemies will not get me. And who is the real enemy? Are we not our worst enemy, as it has been presented by those who dig deep into research of human psychology and also other aspects? The other thing, let us also continue with what is happening. It was stated that Senegal Prime Minister says the country will not seek debts restructuring. The country will not seek debts restructuring. The very interesting thing which happened in Senegalese economy is that what has been happening is that when the new administration took over, it has been going through the document and realized that there was actually some of the hidden records of debts which were not paid, and manipulated numbers that is up to between 10 to 13 billion US dollars. That's why the IMF indicated that the debts of Senegal reach 132% GDP, 132% of GDP. That was end of 2024. And with international institution, there is an aspect of restructuring or debt restructuring program. That is a program that you enter, either to extend your payment period and also to cover and also to lower your interest rates. But looking at that aspect, seems like African countries are saying no, we are not going to enter that program, and they are going to find a way, especially dealing with their debts. And it was stated that on that aspect, the Prime Minister has indicated that when it comes to that aspect, there are many ways of coming out of that crisis. There are actually many ways of coming out of that crisis. And, uh, why people are running away from International Monetary Fund. And speaking at the joint conference, Prime Minister stated that there was a way out of the crisis without restoring to this restructuring. Because one thing that should be very clear, especially when it comes to either it's foreign direct investment, either it's aid, is that getting resources is not a problem. But if we are not changing the model that we are using on managing our resources, things will not work out. Things will not work out because we must also look at it from an individual point of view. If you look at our inequality, look at the way Namibians we are dealing with short loans, micro lending, for example, at an individual level. You look at people, a lot of professionals are in circles. You get this money, you use it within a month, then you get another loan. Then you end up not paying that. And there are people who have been in debt for 20 years. They're not knowing that they are not standing on their own. Although some people indicate, also some financial experts are indicating that the debts are not a problem, is how you use them. But when you look at countries, when you have a good relationship with Bretton Woods institution, IMF, World Bank, that are assisting you with funding and loans, if you are not handling yourself very well, if you are not able to manage the finance that you are getting, they will still come to you and say, we are giving you advice. There is a program that you need to enter, that you need to revive your debts, and you continue to be in that program. And it also depends, are you changing? If you are corrupting yourself, then you still owe them. That's why some of these guys in Senegal, they cook numbers. And who is paying that debt now? The current administration of Senegal is now dealing with that debt. That's why the Prime Minister say, no, we are not, it's not possible. We are not entering that debt restructuring program. And that is something that needs to be looked at. And I was looking at one of the statements Dramini Zuma, especially when it comes to self-funding. One of the things that she stated is that countries which are finding it within themselves to develop, they will be able to have certain infrastructure without looking at their shoulders. And she was stating this, especially looking at the biggest dam that Ethiopia has built, Konsana Dramini Zuma. I was indicating that countries which are using their own fundings to develop their industry, they will be having the infrastructure without looking their shoulders. Because if you develop through loans, it's good as long as you are paying that money on time. Because what differentiated United Arab Emirates, Qatar, and Oman from Venezuela, from Iraq, and from many other countries is that these countries in the Middle East, the oil guys, the oil dollar guys, they were able to pay their debts that they took from the Western world. And they are very good with business. They say, no, give us this money. We build, we dig our wells. We give your company tenders, but we pay you out and you go home. That's why when you look at United Arab Emirates, it's free to form relationship with anyone. Nobody is looking at them because they were able to pay their debts. They were able to develop their countries from a mere desert to an industrialized. Look at Dubai. Look at those countries. Then you'll be able also to see that leadership of management of finance, a leader of nowadays must be business-wise and financially capable. Because if you are not dealing with numbers, then it's very difficult for you to take us out of some of these challenges, because you need to know the numbers. You don't only need to look at the number which is coming in, you also need to look at the number which is coming out. Look at the numbers of your people. Look at the data, look at the statistics, look at the methods, and be able to be prudent. And at the same time, not only to be prudent, but you also need to have some level of sagacious to say you are able to calculate the finance, and you're able to apply wisdom to the decisions that you are making, especially when it comes to development. Good morning.
Yebo. Morning.
How are you? How are things going?
Can we develop without others?
Yeah.
No, it can't.
But can we develop without external dependency?
Yeah, we can.
We can, right?
We can.
How do we do that?
So, if you are an African,
yeah,
you already believe that we are born to.
Yeah.
Because of you.
Yeah.
Because of them.
Yeah.
So why we can develop without an external?
Yeah, external dependency, we mean the West and the Eastern world, yes. In terms of fundings, yeah.
Well, the African West or Russia and Chinese, we can't. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Then if you also Namibian, you also believe in that on the Wumuya, we come for Anama. What does it get you?
Yeah.
This is what we want. These are the, you know, conventional wisdom that we have.
Yeah.
In our, as an African. And this is what we need to teach at school. We need things from this conventional wisdom.
Yeah.
So that we can understand what we are saying.
Now, when you brought about that question, you know, it is motivated by AU, who indicated to say we still have to sit with, the U.S. because we are going to suffer when you pull out of UN agency. That is the thing that brought about that question. If you look at the background of that question.
Let me tell you one thing.
Even
the most powerful and great and developed countries, for them to develop because of us, they have governance and because of finance labor. How can they, that's why I say the word independence is a misplaced concept. Independence from what? There's no independence. We fight for sovereignty, not independence. We fight for, if you didn't know, the real word is we are fighting for sovereignty. We never fought for independence. That's a misplaced
Now you are confusing an ordinary person who is listening now. On maybe you can differentiate what do you mean when you speak about sovereignty and also independence.
Sovereignty is ownership.
Yeah.
That's the basic that I can give.
Yeah.
Independence is like it's an independent variable that does not depend on anything. But a human is not an independent variable. You understand? No. A country can never be an independent variable. A country is a sovereign. You see? It's a sovereign state. Go in your constitution.
Okay, now you believe that when the U.S. cut out the fundings, without the U.S., we must forget about development of Africa.
Look, you must learn to work for yourself.
Yeah.
And you must also learn from others.
Yeah.
You see?
Mm.
All that be it was shitura concharo way.
Mm.
It was shikuja or shitura shitima.
Mm.
When in the Chinese stage, man, they use communism with Chinese characteristics. What is Chinese characteristics? Have you asked them?
Yeah, yeah.
Chinese characteristic is like Chinese culture and tradition. With this characteristic. Yesterday we were talking about, I asked, does the act of parliament replace customary law and practice? That's why we are saying we were supposed to make law starting with the tradition. What is there?
What is our input?
Other people believe
in
the tradition.
Mm.
What people know before. And what is the modern saying? Modernity. What is the word saying? So that we can come up with a law that has both modern and traditional features. That's why we do not need two laws.
Yeah.
Customary law and the other like act of parliament or something.
There was one guy. It's a lawyer who was. We were debating with him, and I told him to say at the foundation of our constitution. I asked the question to say, what is our contribution to international law as Namibians, and also to the main constitution? Because when you go deep, especially in 1999, you'll be able to see that. They are drafters of the constitution, but they are those advocates from South Africa who also assisted us in putting together that constitution. Then you ask yourself to say, was it really us who were sitting into that constituency assembly? Or somebody was part of that? They were advocates actually from South Africa.
We never drafted the constitution. They adopted the constitution.
But you cannot say that there are those who are saying they drafted.
Let me tell you.
Yeah.
If they do, they have done that. Those that are still alive, ask them to bring their draft.
Their contribution.
Yeah, ask them to bring their draft. Yeni Kanjo is there, Naha Sangura is there. Let them to bring. They are able to say, this is what I propose. Zero, they adopted the constitution.
Mm-hmm.
That's why even this act of parliament, they were never drafted by the Namibians. They were adopted also.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you come up with the Marriage Act, for instance, you never go to the people. You go to South Africa and copy and paste. You just localize it. When they say South Africa, you say Namibia.
Is it plagiarism?
That's why you say that.
Yeah.
An act of parliament that is contradict the Namibian customary law and practice. There's something we never contradict. They just copy and paste. They just change when they say South Africa, they put Namibia. Just localize. So that is the way you say, look, how can you say we are going to develop without, even if you say, we just need to learn how to operate.
Because foreign
direct investment and don't have to work, they are not bad. But those people, they are dealing with conditions. Can you bring them when they put conditions? They sweat for that money.
It's business.
Look, they sweat for that money. They cannot give you their money for free while you are worried.
And what have you done for you to receive free lunch? They are doing business also.
Oh, that's it. When people work for you, that's why in economy.
Yeah.
And in the market, who is the most person to suffer is the consumer, because he's going to pay all the price from the producer, retailer, transportation, and utility costs, and all the things. Not to pay them. The labor and the rest. is a consumer. Why? Because you only wake up, go to the store, buy bread. But there were people who were later for nothing. What you were doing? Now we want to bury me. That's why even when they teach you at school. Have you asked yourself that people have sweated for this? You see, Chinese said, you know, when you do comparative study in terms of to say, let's take how the Western and American give their loans and donuts and what. You must be a democratic state. You must be support of this thing, the gender equality thing. You must support of this thing of gay.
Yeah.
These are the requirements that they ask you. On top of that, they also choose companies that are going to deal with this thing.
What is
the Chinese are saying? Ask me, we don't care whether you are a democracy, whether you are a gay, whether you leader is a woman or zebra side,
whatever.
You sit on the table and achieve a deal. Then you ask. We just say, if you want an airport, we bring an airport for you.
Yeah, their foreign policy is very good because they don't interfere. They do business, they go home.
Let me tell you, a genius person said that if you have now to come and build an airport for us, with the labor, with the material and everything, what about us? What about our innovation, our engineers? Where are we going to work? And what and all those things? Then the Chinese say, look, you think we can give you our money and you go back from the African or whatever, American or whatever. We also have an economy to grow. We have also a nation to build. Therefore, we cannot give you money unless maybe you are going to buy for us. But what is the point of buying? So, if your people cannot speak Chinese, is it our problem?
Yeah.
We learn English so that we can communicate with you. We learn your language at some point so that you can be able to communicate. Are you training? Training you?
Let us look at our guest, then we'll continue the conversation. We are moving forward with Nyeri Morning Scoop, and got it. Say, you know, sometimes a friend from Asia, they never invaded anybody. They have their diplomatic policy, and they're actually doing very well. At some point, they're doing very well. Although there are things to iron out, and looking at that aspect, we must be able. And the caller made a very important observation. Especially to say you cannot develop without others. But the question that we continue to ask is that when others pull out and say enough is enough, what have we learned from that? When the US pull out support of USAID, how many of us were crying? But have we learned, have we appreciated to say thank you, have been giving us your money? Because some of these things were free. Although there are also benefits that they were getting, but the question that we are asking is to what extent are we going to depend on external assistance? Can you really say if South Africa is not giving us food, we are not going to eat anymore? Can you really say if Namibia cut a deer or cut just for argument's sake to say no, we are no more trading with China? You think they are not going to eat? They are going to eat. If you say, I'm not going to trade with South Africa, they are going to eat. But if they say that to us, we will not eat. And well, let's go for a short commercial break, then we'll be joined by our guest and continue the conversation. So to say, to what extent are you going to be dependent on other people? And the African Union is saying, we are coming to you to negotiate. We must relook at that. People are going to suffer. Invest in peace deals. Invest in peace building. And that is also the problem with us Africans. We are fighting each other. People are investing money in peacekeeping missions. Africans are fighting each other internally. Where have you seen continents fighting each other internally again? Where have you seen that? After 1990. But now people are saying, no, US, we have been funding you. We give you money. Humanitarian crisis in Sudan. You guys, we give you independence. You are fighting with each other. But yeah, let's look at the short commercial break. Then we'll continue the conversation.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Inuit. Want to know
staff.
About Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. So I indicated that today we'll be joined by Mr. Ben Wanga. So he's a researcher. He's a public policy analyst, especially focusing more on continental affairs. And I indicated that anything continental, anything which has to do with African development, that is where he comes in. And he's going to engage us, especially regarding the African Union Commission chairperson, who said they are up for negotiations, they are up to debate and also discuss with the U.S., particularly after the cutting of key funding UN institutions, which is including also, you know, Africa. And Mr. Ben Wanga, good morning, and welcome to Early Morning Scoop.
Good morning, David Stone, and thank you.
Yes, I hope the new year started very well, that side. And how is 2026 doing to you?
2026 is good.
Yeah.
We are looking forward to the year.
Yeah.
We have our resolutions.
Yeah.
And by God's grace, we will try to ensure that these resolutions come to pass.
Yes. And that is a very good starting point to say because they are saying the world is a global village. Your resolution can also be affected by what's happening at the global platform. Now, let us look at what have been happening around the world. We have seen from last year under the Trump administration, there have been a lot of major moves which have been happening. One of them is cutting of fundings and everything which is not bringing or is not in line with United States national interest has to go. And one of those things is funding of United Nations Agency, United Nations Economic for Africa, United Nations Population Fund, peacekeeping missions, and all those agencies. Maybe from onset when you have seen this, when you receive this news, as somebody who is in that area, what is your observation before we move forward?
Well, I can say that this is a setback.
Yeah.
The world is supposed to assist the most vulnerable. The most vulnerable in the developing world.
Yeah.
The commencement of the Trump administration when he became leader, he was so much focused on rationalizing. Rationalizing meaning that he wants to cut funding, as you said. So this year, January 7, through a memorandum that he wrote to Congress, he indicated that the United States is going to withdraw funding to 66 international organizations and 31 UN agencies. This would affect us greatly because UNECA, UNECA's primary focus is to provide advisory advice, policy research advisory advice to African governments to mitigate climate action, to promote gender and social policy, and to also promote technology and innovation. So Africa is still developing, and the funding is needed in order to build capacity. It is needed in order to build institutions. It is needed in order to promote economic development. It is needed in order to ensure that employment, poverty, and equity are achieved.
Now, looking at that aspect, and we have seen the African Union Commission indicated that there will be continued engagement with the U.S., maybe also to look at particularly in the area of peacekeeping missions, the fundings, and also spoke about the vulnerability of African people. Now, do you think is that the right diplomatic move? Are we that vulnerable? Can we not live without that funding? Or what do you think when the AU chair made that statement?
Well, on the one hand, for one to be practical, we do not have enough funds to support peacekeeping missions in Africa. Therefore, we relied heavily on the United States funding. You have the war in the DRC. You have the war in, what is the country again?
Sudan.
In Sudan. In Sudan. Yes, in Sudan. So now, peace is necessary for economic development. And once you have funds available to mitigate conflicts, then it means that the spillovers, the multipliers, are always going to be economic prosperity, economic development, employment, and also the building of institutions and supporting social justice by the state and supporting welfare programs by government. So I think the United States has to be engaged. Maybe for the moment we can say that these are Trump's own policy philosophies.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe we can say that Trump has his own approach to international cooperation.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if I'm not mistaken, Trump has another 3 years.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken.
No, you are correct.
Yeah, and I think his administration is influenced by DOGE. The DOGE influence is the Department of Government Efficiency. When he started off, when he assumed office, he was talking about cutting costs. But the moral issue is more higher.
Mm-hmm.
Then his policy pronouncement and his policy objectives. Therefore, one should say that I do not support the fact that he has cut aid. I think he has to cut on spending on the military, because right now the United States spends about $884 billion on the military. Which is a lot of money.
Almost a trillion.
Yeah, which is almost a trillion. If they can...
Just hold on for 1 second for commercial break.
Okay.
Great news. Imper just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imper? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. I'm in conversation with Mr. Ben Wanga, especially on African Union in the United States of America. Mr. Ben, we are speaking about U.S. spending much money, almost a trillion, at military infrastructure. Now, looking at that, maybe we can expand on that before we come to direct impact on Namibia.
Oh, definitely. You see, when you spend so much money on war programs, what does that mean? It means that you still live in the Cold War. It means that you want to advance your military interests. Your military interests in order to achieve your political objectives. So now the military is used in order to promote unilateralism. The Americans have been involved in many regime change activities in South America and in Africa. I think the time is now for us to lay down arms and to use resources prudently and to allocate them in terms of promoting agriculture, in terms of promoting the development of technology, in terms of halving world poverty, in terms of promoting international understanding and cooperation, and in terms of promoting democracy, and in terms of empowering women and children. I think that should be the focus. It should not be as it was in the past, whereby military investments were made in order to advance the arm race, because the world is moving towards multipolarism, multilateralism. And so it is necessary for us to focus on peace building, food security, nutrition, infrastructure, and aiding nations to be integrated in the world economic system.
Now, I was looking at AU budget, then I realized that more than 59 or around 60% is funded from outside, and I also look at now these agencies. Now, looking at Trump pulling out from agencies that are supporting African development and also African peace building, is this going to be felt in Namibia, and how maybe the impact will be, especially looking at the long term? Because some of these things, you feel them after 3 months.
Definitely, it's going to affect us, the health sector, the education sector, the agricultural sector. We've been receiving development aid from the U.S.
Yeah.
We've been receiving development aid, which fill the gaps in terms of government finances. To support developmental programs. So it will be felt, because look, governments in Africa are still in the developing stage, meaning that it will take some time for us to have the necessary capacity to emulate or to stand on our feet. So in development aid is actually, it complements government resources, because government through taxation, government through tariffs and taxes and development aid uses these resources through budgeting. In order to support education, in order to support health, in order to support agriculture. And so the capacity is not there. But unless, I think this is also a wake-up call. It's good that you ask a question.
Yeah.
That Africa should also start looking inward.
Yeah.
You have the Africa Free Continental Trade Agreement. It needs to be prioritized. Africa should look inward, meaning that we have to bring our house in order, because on the one hand, development aid is good, but it's not always good for you to be dependent on external funding. I think we invest too much also in military programs. Insecurity. I think a time has to come when Africa promotes democracy, the rule of law, good governance, efficiency, effectiveness, transparency, accountability, and also social justice. So Africa has to learn from what Trump is doing, that the world may not always be there for us. Therefore, let's put our house in order, and let's stop the wars in the DRC. Let's stop the wars in Sudan. Let's invest in our people and so on.
So, and I think we're also sharing the same sentiment, because to me, I think Donald Trump is also a good teacher, because he's teaching us to survive during cold seasons, not only to receive aids every day. Now, let us look at what we have done wrong, because there is something that I'm also trying to, I'm failing to understand, because there is this thing of victimization. Yes, we were colonized, and we understand that impact has on our parents and also have on us, even the stage that we are in the world. But there are also things that somebody can also say, that these things Africans could have done. We were given a goal, but we are busy fighting each other in DRC. We are busy fighting each other in Zim. we were fighting each other in Sudan and Rwanda there and all these things. But Angua has been there to assist us. Maybe for the past 20 years or so, if we have to take a good observation, what mistakes do you think African leaders, not only African leaders, but African developmental actors have not done well that they should learn in order to move forward? Because we were receiving donations, we were receiving aids, but things were not that moving. Do you think there are key things that we should also work on ourselves before we look at what other people are doing to us?
Yeah, one thing that I will mention is, to answer your question, is the politics of the belly.
Uh-huh.
The politics of the belly is a concept which means that leaders are only there for their stomachs.
Mm-hmm.
Leaders are unaccountable in Africa.
Mm.
Leaders are not servanthood leaders.
Mm.
Some do also not have a vision for Africa.
Mm, mm, mm.
Now, a vision can address many issues. The economic, the cultural, the political, the social, the technical, the scientific.
Yeah.
So our leaders should be held accountable, and there is a program under the African Union which is called the peer review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
the peer review of which was popularized or conceptualized by Thabo Mbeki.
Mm-hmm.
It is a review whereby peers, countries which are members to the AU,
mm-hmm.
should restrain member countries for not acceding to democratic principles, democratic elections, institute good governance, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So we have gone wrong because it starts with the head. Even I have asked myself, but we have counselors.
Yeah.
Some counselors have standard 3 or grade 11 or grade 1.
No,
but if a counselor, how do you become a counselor if you have a grade 2 or a grade 4?
It's actually a very good question. And it's a very good question. Yeah.
And so what I want to say is that we need to invest in leadership. We need to invest in management. We need to build strong institutions. We need to promote the market economy, the mixed economy. We need to invest in education, in health. We have to invest in housing, in land, in agriculture, in manufacturing. We need to do that because a leader must have a vision for his people. You need to make a difference. You must be able to bridge the poverty gap. So those are the mistakes that we did. The time of Kwame Nkrumah had a vision. Thomas Sankara had a vision. Patrice Lumumba had a vision. But then we made mistakes along the way, and also there was the component of the Cold War.
Not to hold you for long. Your last two comments. You mentioned African peer review mechanism, right? That is it's a very powerful institution. I used to read the most of, if not many of its reports, and they are making, they continue to make recommendation. There was one report last year that was speaking about coherence in terms of policy, and it took out the case studies. There was a case study of Namibia, Kenya, South Africa. And one thing that I find very interesting is what it has been mentioned to say. In Namibia, there is duplication of institutions. There is no policy coherence. They were looking at if the country was able to implement principles of Agenda 2063. But one thing that was mentioned is fragmentation of data. There is no data which are in order, and also duplication of institutions. But I'm asking myself to say, do we pay real attention to these recommendations? Because it's not the first time they were raised. It's not only in Namibia, or they are just there for statistic, or it's very difficult to pay attention to them. And what can be done moving forward, especially dealing with data? To me, I look at the APRM as a think tank.
I agree with you that APRM is a think tank for Africa.
Yeah.
But we are not taking Africa the peer review mechanism seriously.
Yeah.
Because now we have elections in Tanzania.
Indeed, indeed.
And what happened in Tanzania? Few came out to condemn the violation of democratic principles in election procedures in Tanzania.
Yeah, and maybe I have to ask you this question because I did not want to say it out. What was Namibia's position? Because Madame was our guest also. Was it last year? But there was no communication. What is our position in that?
We don't have a position because you must understand that Africa plays the ticket of solidarity.
Indeed.
Yeah, solidarity. You also mentioned a very interesting point, that of victim play.
Yeah.
That we blame the past, we blame colonialism.
Mm.
We are not the only geopolitical area which was colonized. You must look at the Asian tigers,
mm-hmm.
the strategies. And now they were able to circumvent and to propel themselves into an economic region, prosperous region.
Mm-hmm.
So now to come back to peer review and also the position, we don't have a position on Tanzania, and that is very sad.
Mm-hmm.
As I said from the onset, it's about democracy. Mm. It's about peace. It's about good governance.
Mm.
It's about health. It's about education. It's about providing the basic, satisfying the basic needs for your people through servanthood leadership.
Mm.
So now we have the peer review, what is it called again?
Peer review mechanism, APRM.
Yeah, we have the peer review mechanism. I think it's time for Africa through the AU to sanction members who violate the principles of the AU, the principles of Agenda 2063 and the Africa we want, and to also ensure that people understand through sensitization campaigns. There should be rigorous sensitization campaigns, because Africa has is the next frontier. The youth are actually suffocated in terms of having space in the democratic process. Therefore, we should start with youth empowerment. We should start with democracy. We should start with security. We should start with peace, good governance, institutions, and social justice, because it doesn't help we invest in military undertakings while our people are starving. The it doesn't make sense.
Yes, Mr. Ben, just your last word. We spoke on institution, we spoke on leadership. Maybe to the youth, not only in Namibia, also African youth. Maybe what message do you have to them? I'm asking this question because the statistics are saying it's only at this point in time where Africa is a youth continent. Statistics, some are saying 69, some are saying 70% of the population of Africa is young people. And it's only in Africa that young people are. But you also find the demoralized young people. You find them, they are dying in the sea. They're trying to reach Europe. Some are dying in the desert. Maybe what also role do we have to play? Because everybody must have a role to play. As an African young person, as a Namibian, what is my role to play in the development of my country? And also, what should I focus on? Because I also need to be held accountable. Because in the next 20 years or so, these are also going to be adults and also a leader somewhere. What is that we are not doing right? And what is my role? Just a few words on that as a young Namibian and African in particular.
Okay, two things.
Yeah.
One, personal responsibility.
Yeah.
Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country.
Yeah.
Young people have an opportunity right now under the 8th administration and subsequent administrations.
Yeah.
Young people should invest in education. Mm. Young people should invest in life skills. Mm. Young people should have purpose. They should have vision.
Yeah.
They should participate. They should not withdraw from political activities, economic activities, and self-empowering activities. The other thing is government.
Mm.
Under the 8th administration, government is by all means trying to meet the youth halfway.
Yeah.
They have come up and designed a youth appealing and youth sensitive programs in order to support sports, in order to support the creatives, in order to support arts and culture. But what I'm saying is that the young people should invest in personal responsibility. Let's stop tribalism. Mm. Let's stop racism. Let's stop bigotry and focus on what we can do for Namibia, our role, and to participate constructively in leadership and to support government programs and efforts and to capitalize on the opportunities government is offering us. The free education, the health, and all other services which are provided. So it takes two to tango. Government has to create a conducive and supportive environment for youth development, and the youth should position themselves as to how they are going to be the next change agents and the trendsetters, because we are talking about the fourth industrial revolution. Yeah, we should do research.
Indeed. Yes, Mr. Ben Owanga, thank you very much for your time. Thank you for spending your time with us and give us your input. And we really appreciate that.
Okay, no, thank you, Dr. Davidson.
All right, cool.
Okay, thank you, bye.
Sharp, sharp.
Yes, it's 37 minutes past the hour 7. We are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. With me, David Shombe, I was in conversation with Mr. Ben Owanga. I indicated to you, he's a researcher, and he's also a public policy analyst, particularly on issues of African development. And he indicated to say, every person has a role to play. Every person has a role to play. Young people, let us invest in skills. You should not withdraw. You should not withdraw. Let us not invest in withdrawal in real national development, because you really find those who have been trying their best. Some have been trying their economic activities. They gave up. They speak about no connections. They speak about corruption. They speak about things are not working out. Some have been in politics. Then they realize to say, I'm only necessary before elections. And after that, people, they don't come to me. People, they withdraw. But what is necessary is that it's a purpose. Why are you standing? Why are you called a Namibian youth? What can you do for your country? Were you there for politics of the belly? Or you were doing a purpose, you were doing justice? And there are also stagnant leadership that we see. You know, you see somebody is, and it's really a question that needs to be asked. You are a leader within a certain political party, all political parties, especially the youth leaders, youth wings. They only pronounce themselves during elections. But what do you do? Do you attend the youth conversations? Do you have a youth project that is standing on you? Or you are just calling yourself a youth leader? A secretary within a certain political party? Section leader? Some branch? But what is that you are really doing? And what does it mean when you are a leader? What is that you are really doing for your constituency? And also the issue of research and data. We are still guided by data. You can't do anything without the data. You cannot do anything if you do not know how many people are away. What are they doing? How are they surviving? And investment in ourselves is necessary, especially looking forward. And there is one thing that is mentioned, especially African continental free trade area. The solution to African problems, it has been stated that is within Africa. That is the solutions to African problem, and getting access to the market of 1.5 billion people. And when it's coming to African continental free trade area, that is a very important thing. But the question that you're asking is to say, when the borders are going to open for African continental free trade area, did we prepare our smaller businesses to survive the storm? Or they are going to be absorbed. Are we ready for that? And what are we doing to make sure that when it's coming to African continental free trade area, we don't only speak, we don't only participate partially, but we are full participant, and we are assistant. We are assistant based on that aspect. So that is a conversation. That is a conversation, especially when it comes to that era. So let's look at the short commercial break. Then we'll be looking at the exercise of naval exercise in South Africa. Understand that Iran, China, Russia, Brazil, and Ethiopia as an observer, they are there at the sea. Speak about the military officials, speak about naval officials, that is the Navy. They are exercising. And it's a routine exercise, say BRICS, show BRICS power, and also to look at what is happening. But for now, let's look at a short commercial break, then we move forward. You can still engage us in the studio at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager. Wherever you are.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events. And basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are moving forward with the Early Morning Scoop. It's 44 minutes past the hour of 7. And, this is a week of naval exercise. Military exercise, particularly from the seaside there in South Africa. See Chinese warships, Iranian warships, Russian warships, Brazil's officials, and Ethiopia officials, military officials there in South Africa. And just to exercise, it's a routine exercise, especially when it comes to the BRICS country. And it's happening at a very critical time, especially when the world is repositioning itself when it comes to influence, economic influence, and it's a posture. The posture being presented by the BRICS power to show the military strength, but it's called the will for peace. It's called the will for peace, and when you look at that, for those of you who are on TV, you'll be able to see beautiful ships, warships that have never been seen before, advanced technology. And the show of strength. You know, talking to Ricky Simasiku, international relation analyst and lecturer of politics, indicated to say economic power and military power must go hand in hand, because if you only have the economy, you cannot protect it, you cannot defend it. Somebody will just come and take it from you, because you cannot bring about wealth that you cannot protect. That's why I was giving an example of when Mr. Beko Kwakye Sele, former police minister of South Africa, when he was attending at her committee, he was speaking about this taxi gang violence in South Africa. He said, when you get into business of taxis in South Africa, it's a lucrative business, because a taxi in South Africa is a quantum. You get into taxi business, they ask you a question, do you have sticks to protect the business? And that stick is a gun, which do you have weapon? Do you have firepower to protect the business? It's the same question which is being asked to advanced economy to say China, South Africa, Iran, Brazil, Russia, Ethiopia, and other countries. They are showing that they have something to protect their economy, because as it has been stated that human nature did not change much, and thinkers such as Thomas Hobbes are always indicating, or their literature are always indicating to say, men or human beings decided to put laws and form a social contract to protect ourselves from ourselves, because without laws, we are brutal, we are competitive, and we live in the state of nature. That's why they say, no, let us make laws, let us form a constitution so that we can lead each other. And the military exercise, especially with the navy of these countries, is going until the end of this week. It's going until the end of this week. And yeah, looking at Namibian presidency, you look at the page of Namibian presidency, it was stated there that there was a bit of a clarification. There was a clarification on redeployment and appointment of mission. There have been some reviews from the public, and it's also a question of accountability. Was asking to say why some people are appointed and there's no public announcement, but the presidency has clarified and indicated that there's no hidden appointment, and the presidency has also released names and also information that indicating the appointment of ambassadors and their designated country, especially the heads of missions. You have ambassadors and high commissioners, because in global affairs, within a commonwealth, the head of mission is called the high commissioner. Because if you are deployed in South Africa, in Zambia, and in Commonwealth countries, that is called High Commissioner. Looking at other part, it's called an ambassador, that is head of mission. And looking at that clarification, the presidency has indicated that diplomatic process, including receipt of agreements and the presentation of letters of credence, and it's different from country to country, because you have to be deployed, but you have to receive the acceptance letter from the receiving nation, and things take time. And the list here of or the full list of redeployed ahead of mission is maybe as follow, just to read it first, to say in Algeria, deployment of Ambassador Samuel Bambo. In Angola, Ambassador Riona Dipumbo, that is a former chief of protocol. And in Belgium, is Dr. Arfeldo Chiurimo Hengari, former spokesperson in the presidency. In China, there is a deployment of Ambassador Tonata Emvura. In Republic of Congo, it's Ambassador Hoplong Ipinge. In Cuba, Ambassador Libius Tobias. In DRC, it's Ambassador Sipapele. In Egypt, that is deployment of Mr. Oich M.U. Mupia. In Finland, it's deployment of Ambassador Benjamin Kandanga. In France, it's Ambassador Sabine Boke Mula. And I think she was Deputy ED. Deputy ED for bilateral, if I'm not mistaken. And in Germany, it's Ambassador Jerobia Mshanika. In Ghana, deployment of Mr. Giacupin Ituamata. In Japan, Ms. Rosina Hobes. And in New York, it's Ambassador Pendanada for ID for Mirt. In Nigeria, Mr. Varde Devashia. In Russia, it's Ambassador Monica Nashandi. In South Africa, High Commission Frida Ithete. In Switzerland, it's also Ambassador Elvis Schweda. Sweden, Ambassador Sophia K. Nangula in Tanzania. His High Commission, Sinibo. And in UK, his Ambassador Veiko Niwete. In Washington, that is Ambassador Wilbert M. Helau. Zambia, Mr. Gomes Menete. In Zimbabwe, Mr. M. David Thomas. And you'll be able to realize that looking at the titles, those who have MB, those it could be the former ambassadors, because the title of ambassador is like a doctor. Once you are accredited, unless you are declared persona non grata, once you are accredited, once an ambassador is still an ambassador, even if you come back at home, still an ambassador. And those who have missed us, I think, or miss our first deployment, they still to receive their credential. And with HC, those high commissioners, if you have HC, and those high commissioners in Commonwealth countries, and it was just a clarification which was given by the presidency, and it's quite a very good thing, especially when you have clarity. Especially when you have clarity, especially with public information. And that is what has been happening. So you can call back at 083-288-401 or 083-288-401.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
So just give me after the last minute already, then you tell me it's only minute, 1 minute.
Come again?
So how many minutes can I take?
You can take three.
The three,
yeah.
Yeah, each one will have
a point.
A minute.
Okay.
So, yeah, issues of the children returning and waiting for their result.
Okay.
Many a times it's the parents who are causing them, because they already, somebody was saying, oh, 17 points.
Mm.
But they have forgotten about the VTC, which are more important. So even those people who are there who have not met the minimum requirement maybe for university, so they are not failure.
Yeah.
The only problem is the parents will discourage children to go for VTC courses.
We like comparing.
That is done. I'm now going to move to another point.
Yes.
The South African Constitution, which was actually before South Africa became independent in 1994. So the South African Constitution was apart the colonial kind of that Constitution, which was actually discriminating. We never copied things from South Africa. South Africa is the one who copied from our Constitution.
Are you sure?
Yes. So the drafting of our Constitution in 1990.
Yeah.
So South Africa became independent in 1994. But when you look at it and you examine from your legal lecture there, they will tell you that, yes, our constitution is so supreme. The one for South Africa, which was a discriminatory and a colonial kind of a piece of paper, it wasn't, there's no way we could, of course, there are some principles.
I think there we are not agreeing on that point. Because you know what I how I look at it, that is that South Africa is the foundation of our constitution, because when you look at our constitution very well, it even says it in 1990 to say all the laws which were applied during apartheid and they are not changed should continue being applied.
That, I understand that concept.
Yeah, which means that you are still using
the ones that are not discriminatory.
Let me just finish. And you also need to ask yourself this question to say, if South Africa is not where we draw some of the principles, why South African lawyers, they can come and practice law in Namibia, but our Namibian lawyers cannot go and practice law in South Africa?
Well, maybe it's because you have the sometimes it's just to undermine our lawyers.
No. I'm just asking because most of the things, they came from the Bantu Education Act. is there, because we are a province. So
which
come?
Was discriminatory. It wasn't a good piece of paper, which was discriminatory.
We still have laws which are discriminatory here in Namibia.
Yes, those ones we can amend them, we can repeal them.
Mm.
So you are given a chance to repeal those ones that you think they are not responsive to our needs, our interests. But all I'm saying is that the one that they say all the laws that were in existence.
Yeah.
Before independence.
Who made those laws before independence in South Africa?
Yes, those are made in South Africa. In Namibia was part of the administration of justice and all these things was coming from South Africa. And there are lawyers who were actually supporting apartheid. Even now, there were laws that there are lawyers who were supporting the apartheid.
Okay.
So what happens?
Okay, 1 minute, the other point.
What we are saying, I think we need to manage the time properly also.
Yeah, yes.
I think this point, I've mentioned it sometimes before.
Yeah.
And we were talking about constitution. Mm. But all I'm saying is that the constitution of South Africa, of course, they might have some principle that they have borrowed, but when it was drafted, our law drafters, they were also there, they were assisting South Africa to craft up their constitution in 1994.
I will look at. I will look into that.
Look at that, and look at the article that say all the laws that existence before independence shall remain in force.
Yes. No. And, I don't have a problem. I will look into that. It's good that we bring about this debate too.
Yes. Look at about that one. But all I'm saying is that, of course, we have learned from South Africa. Not so much that, yes, our constitution can even be compared to South Africa by then. Mm. Of course, if you are bringing lawyers from South Africa, that does not mean that our constitution is not good or our lawyers are not competent. No.
Yes.
Maybe those ones, they have a well experience because our country, you know, it just got independent. Of course, they are also using a constitution even though it was a discriminatory kind of a constitution. That's what I'm saying.
Yes,
there are laws, legal instruments that are not, supporting the things that are discriminatory. You are there now to appeal them and they are devised, the law commissioners and all this, whatever, to amend them and repeal those ones.
Yes, thank you.
Welcome. So let's manage the time properly.
Okay.
We usually used to say 3.3 minutes, but we see that 3 minutes might not be convenient enough, but somebody take it 20 minutes, then you give us 3 minutes.
Okay, I'll give you 1 hour one day. I told you I want you to be my guest one day, and I don't respond to that.
I'm a timekeeper, my friend. I used to be a timekeeper.
No, I'm saying I want you to be my guest one day on the live show, yeah.
No problem. If you bring the topic that I have knowledge on and things like that, I don't have any problem.
Okay, thank you, eh?
Welcome.
All right. Yeah, that brings us to the end of our conversation, and we are leaving you in the good hands of Big Mike to unpack the day. From me, Devin Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around. Sharp, sharp.